Hey there, guys. I hope this podcast finds you well and in great circumstances today. So let's get right to it. Today's topic is when the battle is arrayed against you. When the battle is arrayed against you. When the battle is arrayed against you, what do you do? How do you respond? What should be your response or your reaction? Well, the topic came to me today because my husband, Dalton, and I, shout out to the love of my life, are hosting our first ever conference this coming weekend. So excited. It's called Daddy's Heart Conference. You have to go check it out. You can go to Facebook under Dr. Patrice Carter or Facebook under Daddy's Heart Conference. It may be after the fact when you hear this, but you can go check out the vision that God gave us for this amazing conference. And please follow us and connect with us, because we will have other conferences coming up. Marriage conference, singles conferences, youth conferences, you name it, workshops, trainings. We're definitely going full force into our ministry trainings this year, and Daddy's Heart is the first stop on the journey. So we're super excited about it. And I bring it up because this morning, someone sent me a text message saying that they had had a vision about the conference, and that we were in a conference meeting. And another woman comes into the meeting, and the person who had the vision said to her, "Why are you here?" And she said, "I wanted to warn Patrice, the battle is coming, or a battle is coming." And she went on to say to me, "Prepare yourself or get ready, because the battle is coming to the conference." And at first, I felt gripped with fear. I'm like, you know, somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, your enemy's coming," you know, you're going to feel probably some initially shock. And then as I sat there, I just started to meditate on the accuracy of the prophecy, the truth of it, her character, God, is this you? And the person who brought it to me is a person of excellent character. And I know it's the Lord, because she would have no reason to even be thinking about me. I don't even know if she's coming to the conference, but I just knew that it was the Lord. So I waited for my husband to wake up, and when he came downstairs, he was like, "Why do you look so concerned?" And he was like, "You have on your Dr. Carter face." And I said, "I just received this text message, you know, this warning." And so we just began to talk through it, and I just began to meditate on the things of God, and the Holy Spirit just began to give me a reminder of something. And it was when Elisha was with his servant in the book of Kings, in 2 Kings 6. And it's one of my favorite scriptures. And in it, 2 Kings 6, Elisha prays, and he asks God, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see that there are more for us than there are against us." And that's just paraphrasing, but it's just such a powerful scripture, because oftentimes when the battle comes, we can feel so outmanned and outgunned. And earlier that morning, as I was meditating and praying and just laying out before the Lord, just listening for the, you know, on behalf of the conference, and just trying to get into a posture of quiet meditation, cleaning my spirit out so that I can hear God, there were two names from the past that he dropped in my spirit, and there I see them as enemies. Now, I don't see them as enemies like I can't stand them, I don't like them, but they don't mean me well. And so it was just like God was kind of showing me their spirit related to the conference, almost like they were coming. So when she messaged me that, those two things married for me. So anyway, I just was there, just again, being quiet before the Lord, just really pondering, thinking, like, God, what are you saying? Not thinking, reasoning within myself, but just really Holy Spirit, reveal to me, open my eyes that I may see. And so that led to the podcast today. And I just want to minister this to you. I'm going to actually share this with the team, the ministry team for Daddy's Heart, and hope that it's empowering for them and impactful for them as they begin to sharpen their swords, their axes, as they prepare for battle. And I just got up in that moment. I was like, the devil is a lie. I'm not going to be afraid. What do I have to be afraid of? God, you're for us. Psalm 23:1 says, "The Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will fear no evil, for thou art with us. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort us." And I just began to give the word back to the Lord. Isaiah 54:17, "No weapon formed against us shall prosper," in Jesus' name. And I read one of my, again, prayed, not read, but prayed one of my favorite scriptures, which is Jeremiah 20:11. And I just encourage you guys, if you're listening, if this is not a common practice or not something that you do, begin to pray the word of God, speak the word of God, confess the word of God. It says, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, awesome one. Therefore, my persecutors will stumble and will not prevail. They will be greatly ashamed, for they will not prosper. Their everlasting confusion will never be forgotten. But, O Lord of hosts, you who test the righteous and see the mind and heart, let me see your vengeance on them, for I have pleaded my cause before you. And so, God, I'm going to see your vengeance on them. And it goes on to say, sing to the Lord, praise the Lord, for he has delivered the life of the poor from the hand of the evildoers. And so I just began to just think on the word of God. I began to just listen in my spirit, and I heard that song, this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. And that's a battle song. That's pretty much what she says and how she sings the entire song is, it may look like I'm surrounded, but God, I'm surrounded by you. And the scripture confirms it. The Bible says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So my testimony is that God is for us. He's more than the world against us. The enemy may come at us in one direction, but he will flee in seven. So I was in the bathroom. I said, God, crush the enemy. Let the battle come, but let it be the battle we're taking to him. Let the battle be against his camp. I'm not even thinking about him coming to us. So I began to pray, God, should we take a battle stance? Or should we prepare for battle? Should we take a battle stance? Because there's some scriptures, Exodus 14, that says you need only be still. You know, hold your peace. Don't move. Because that's a battle that the Lord is going to fight. But then I'm reminded of David in Ziklag, when David was with the men of valor in Ziklag. And they had come back from fighting, and the Philistines had taken all of their stuff. And he said to God, shall we pursue? And the Lord said, pursue, for you shall recover. So there are times where God will tell us to go pursue and go. But then in that same instance, when God told David to go out, he said, but go this way around the mulberry bushes. And when you hear the sound of marching over the trees, then come, you know, then attack. So he gives us the strategy for battle. So I just began to pray, God, give us the strategy for battle. Show us what to do. And as I was praying and asking God, hey, can you open our eyes? He said, I already did. I opened the eyes of my servant that sent you this text, and she let you know in advance so you would know and you begin to prepare yourself and array yourself, array your team, array for the battle that's arraying against you. It's not going to prosper because the word of God says it's not going to prosper. The Bible says in John 10:10, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life more abundantly. We have abundant life, sucker. You can come, but you're not destroying anything over here, okay? So we have the victory in Jesus' name. On behalf of our brothers and sisters that are coming, we can't afford to let our guard down or turn back. So when the battle is arrayed against you, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? So I just want to minister this word to you quickly. Again, I encourage you to study it on your own. It's out of 2 Kings 6, and I'm going to start at chapter 1. And the subtitle, and this is out of the New King James Version, and it says, the floating axe head. And it says, and the sons of the prophet said to Elisha, see now, this place where we dwell with you is too small for us. Please, let us go to the Jordan and let every man take a beam from there, and let us make there a place where we may dwell. So he answered, go. Then one said, please consent to go with your servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to the Jordan, they cut down trees. But as one was cutting down a tree, the iron axe head fell into the water, and he cried out and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. So he had borrowed this axe head from somebody. Now it fell in the water, it's gone. So the man of God, Elisha, said, well, where did it fall? And he showed him the place. So he cut off a stick and threw it in there, and he made the iron float. Therefore, he said, pick it up for yourself. So he reached out his hand and took it. Now I'm going to stop and minister this here, because as I was reading this, I read it several times. So sometimes you have to read the word more than once to get the interpretation. And also understand that you may read the word in a different season. I could read this a year from now and get a total different understanding because of where I am in maturity, because of where I may be in my life, where I may be emotionally in growth, etc. So today the revelation the Lord gave me in this is the following. And that is, I'm going to read the commentary. It said, the details of this building program set the stage for the loss of the iron exit. So again, they're in the midst of building and they lost the iron. In a time when most tools were still made of bronze, an iron blade was valuable. An iron was valuable. So an iron blade. So what comes to me is the scripture that says iron sharpens iron. So does the countenance of a brother sharpen another. Again, paraphrasing, we have to sharpen each other's iron. They're building together. Me and my team, this ministry team this weekend for Daddy's Heart Conference, we are building together. We have to sharpen each other's iron. And those that are coming to sit under the word of God, to hear the word of God, are coming to be sharpened. So we can't lose our iron in the midst of building. We can't lose our iron in the midst of what God has called us to do as we're expanding, because remember they said the place is too small. So in the midst of your season of expansion, you have to be sure that you hold on to your iron, and you have to take the word of God with you. What do I mean? They asked the prophet Elisha to come with them. He was a man, a prophet of God. He was an accurate prophet of God. He was a true prophet of God. He embodied the spirit of God. Therefore, the word of God was with him and within him, and they honored his words because he spoke as one who heard from God. So you have to make sure again in this season of expansion and enlargement that you're taking the word of God with you and you're being sharpened. And so it may be that you have to borrow the iron from someone. Sometimes we need to borrow somebody else's iron, and we need to switch from bronze. Bronze is an inferior metal in that sense of iron, because iron is sharper. So when you lose it, you know, and it falls, be willing to ask for help to go pick it back up. So how does that, to me, that implies that if I lose something in this season, if I've lost my sharpness, if I've lost my way, I need to be humble enough to say, oh my gosh, recognize the value of what I have lost and ask someone to help me to go find it. And then what it goes on to say, which is so powerful, it says in chapter 6, verse 7, it says, the man must have been tremendously impressed with what he saw. So we should be able to see miracles. I believe that sometimes so many miracles, miniature, tiny, and I don't mean this to minimize the greatness of God, but we see small miracles. We overlook them because we're looking for big things. But the fact that an axe head floated back to the top of the water, metal, a heavy metal like that does not float. So that was a miracle. So we have to begin to see the miracles that take place within our midst and the people that those miracles happen through, so that we don't miss a move of God. We don't miss what God is doing. And he goes on to say that he was impressed with what he saw, but the axe head could be of no use to him until he actually reached out and took it. So until we began to take the axe to the root of our issues, until we began to take the axe to build and chop down these situations or chop down these new places and begin to build in those new places and use that iron and let that iron sharpen us and let that iron be sharp and we claim the iron that is ours, then it's of no use. So what do you need to reclaim? What do you need to sharpen? Where do you need to be sharpened? What do you need to cut down? Or what do you need to build up? So however that resonates with you, I hope that you can hear that and catch that again in the spirit, that it was of no use to him. It is of no use to us and no use to me if we don't pick it up. So in this, what I picked up from reading this is, I don't have to be afraid of the enemy. Sucker, you can array the battle, but you're not going to win, because I'm picking up my iron. I'm picking up the axe. I'm picking up the sword. We are picking up the sword. Our team is picking up the sword. We are picking up the axe, and we're taking it to the root of this issue and these problems that people are coming with this weekend, so that we can enlarge and build the territory for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So the word goes on to say that in chapter 6, verse 8 through 12, I'm going to read on from here. So the man of God encouraged the person, the servant, the builder, to the prophet, his fellow prophet. So we have to, again, sharpen our brother. These are his fellow prophets, to pick up the axe and go to work. So then the next subtitle is The Blinded Syrians Captured. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, so this is two different scenes happening. So imagine a movie, the King of Syria is in his tent having a conversation. He's in the basically the war room planning out his strategy, letting his commanders and his people know what his strategy is. Parallel to that, the man of God is saying to the king of Israel, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. So when God warns us through our prophets that something is coming, the enemy is coming, we have to not watch one time and walk away, or even two times and walk away. When I received that text this morning, my response back to her is, I will share it with Dalton and we will watch as well as pray. So you have, the Bible tells us that we ought to watch as well as pray. We need to watch, stay on the wall, keep watching. What direction is the enemy coming from? What will he look? God, show me the enemy in advance. Hide us beyond his reach. What strategy will he use? Help us to see, and don't just stand there and leave and don't come back. Stay on the post, go once, go twice. In a latter book of Kings, Elijah said, I smell the sound of rain. Or Elisha, again, you double check it in the scripture. And see, he said, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. And he sent his servant to look. And at first, the servant didn't see anything. He sent him back seven times. Sometimes we have to look more than once to understand the strategy of the enemy or understand what it is that God is trying to show us. So again, he warned him and he was watchful there, and to be watchful in the place that God is speaking to us. And there's a word I need to deliver someone. I don't know that she's going to receive it. But the concern I have is that when I say that, we have to be watchful in that place that God reveals, and we don't have to watch it once or twice. It may not look like what you hear the prophet saying in that moment, but some words are for an appointed time. Some visions are yet for an appointed time. Some warnings are in advance. All warnings are in advance, but some is imminent danger and some is pending danger. So you have to know what is God saying. So anyway, therefore it says, therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing. And he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? So at this point, Syria has been planning to attack the king of Israel. Well, this Syrian king has gotten word that the Israelites now know what he's planning, and he thinks that he has a mole in his camp. So he wants to know, okay, who's for the king of Israel that's in my camp? Because, you know, that's not going down. Well, it goes on to say that one of the servants of the king of Syria says to him, none, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. God was giving Elisha the visions in advance. Elisha could see and hear what the king of Syria was planning. So if you go back a few texts, if you go back to the text and go back a few verses, it says, now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servants, saying, my camp will be in such and such place. And the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there. God was showing the prophet in advance. Elisha was not in the same room as the king of Syria. He heard it in the spirit because God revealed it to him in advance, and he was there to serve the king of Israel. So he let the king, as a prophet of God, he warned the king. So the Bible says that we're kings and priests seated in heavenly places. So when the warning comes from the man of God, from the woman of God, as a king and priest seated in heavenly places, because there's no gender, we're the king as well. Women are kings, men are kings. I'm putting that in quotations. But we need to be able to understand and heed the warning that comes from the prophet of God. When they're saying to the leader, basically, let's say leaders, we're all leaders. He's saying, hey, just know this is going down. Prophets serve kings. Prophets serve kings. Prophets, if you're not serving the leaders in your life, get on your post. Find out where you're still supposed to be positioned. If you're a leader and you have prophets coming to you, be prayerful about the accuracy of their word. And if they're coming with a true word and their character and their life lines up, then you may need to heed that and watch. Not once, not twice, but begin to listen and pray. The Bible says watch as well as pray. Pray for the accuracy. Pray for how to interpret, how to apply what God has revealed, and if it's any value in it. So moving on. He says, go and see where he is that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. I just want to make a note here that Dothan is the place that Joseph was sold by his brothers into slavery. So some jacked up stuff has happened in Dothan. So I'm guessing at this point, Elisha might be in trouble of the same. So therefore, he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they went. And by night, they came by night and surrounded the city. So now the place where Elisha is has been surrounded by the horses and chariots and the army of the king of Syria. And when the servant of the man of God, so Elisha's servant, arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear. God is saying to you, when the battle is arrayed against you, he's saying to me, do not fear." That's the first thing he said, do not fear. Because what do? We panic. He says, "For those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Well, who's with them? Because he just woke up. You know what I mean? So they've been in the house. They're with the sons of the prophets. And surely the sons of the prophets, it doesn't tell us that there were any other human beings there. So when he says there are more with us, that means it's now that in this moment, there's more people. There's more. He didn't say people, but there's more with us than there are with them. And he said, and Elisha prayed, and this is what I prayed this morning. Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. I said, God, open our eyes that we may see. Open our eyes. I'm praying this for you. I speak this. I prophesy this over you. Open, God, open this listener's eyes that he or she may see, that they may see that there are more than those who are more with us than there are with them. Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Don't you know that the Bible says the angels of the army of the Lord encamp around those who fear him? The angels of the army of the Lord are battle arrayed around us for this conference this weekend. They are battle arrayed around you because that's the word of God. He watches over his word to perform it. So it doesn't matter how many men, people, women, situations assemble themselves against the people of God. A true person standing in the righteousness of God, meaning that you're in relationship to God, has an army of angels around you. They are battle arrayed. They are ready. They are dressed for armor. The Bible says in Psalm 91 that I have given my angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways, to bear you up in their hands, lest your foot dash upon a stone. Don't be offended. A rock is a rock of offense. A rock is a stumbling block. A rock is an obstacle. You don't need to be worried about a thing, child of God, because the Bible has already declared the word of God, which is that there are more with us than there are with them. They are battle arrayed, and their job is to bear us up in their hands. Their job is to protect us. The angels served Jesus when he was tempted on the mount. The angels came and released Paul and Silas when they were in the prison and the people were praying all night, and they were singing songs of deliverance. So I just began to think, okay, God, how do I fight this battle? How do I position myself? Well, I know that one of the battle weapons is praise and worship, because I was like, well, I know the word of God. He's not telling me necessarily pick up a sword, because in my spirit, I'm not hearing that, but I started again hearing that song. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. So you have to fight with the weapon that God reveals. So what God revealed to me is we're going to fight his behind with some worship, some praise and worship, because the Bible says in Psalms that worship and praise breaks the jaw of the enemy. So he's going to be rendered deaf, dumb, blind, and unable to speak or motion in our area, in our guard. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. So when I worship him, he inhabits. He's living here. He's living in worship. He's living in my praise. So he's coming down. God is coming down to see about us, and he's sending angels to surround us in advance of the battle. Okay, so I want to hear some feedback from you guys. Message me, email me, let me know how are you arraying yourself in battle when the battle has arrayed itself against you. So going on, it says, so when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, strike this people, I pray, with blindness. And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. We have to know the power and the authority that we have. The Bible says that we shall speak those things, and we can speak those things, and they can be not as though they were. That's in Romans. It says that life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that eat the fruit, they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we can speak life. We can speak death. And it's just so powerful that he said, don't be afraid. And then he asked God for what he needed to happen. He needed them to be struck with blindness. And he wasn't praying it out of meanness, because we go on to see that he prayed that the sight be restored. So God, I ask in Jesus' name, I prophesy, God, that this enemy that has arrayed itself against us in battle, he shall be blinded. He shall be brought to utter confusion. He shall be destroyed. If it be in the form of people, they won't even be able to leave their house to come to this conference. So you need to begin to ask God what you want to happen to the enemy. Not because we don't want to speak death over people, because we have to recognize true that in the prophetic, as those that walk in the prophetic office and as children of God who have the power of life and death in our tongue, we don't want to speak words frivolously and foolishly, because God honors the word of his servants. So he goes on to say, strike them with blindness. And he struck them with blindness. Now Elisha said to them, because at this point they're blind, but now he's in front of them, so they can't see him, but they can hear him. They don't know what his voice sounds like. They've never met him. They only know him by way of the servant in the king of Syria's house who said the man of God, Elisha, is the one that's telling all your business. So they've never seen him. They don't even know what he looks like. So he goes on in verse 19, chapter 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 19. Now Elisha said to them, this is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. But instead of, he took them to Samaria, basically. And Samaria was where the king of Israel was positioned, the one that the king of Syria was planning against and plotting against. So next thing you know, they're standing in front of this very man that they had come to kill and to destroy. So it was that when they had come to Samaria that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes and they saw, and there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them? And so it's so interesting that the king asked Elisha for permission to kill them. Why? Because he's the king. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. He had a whole army at his disposal, but he honored the servant of God because he knew that he heard from God. He knew that Elisha heard from God. He knew that Elisha was positioned with God and that God had sent Elisha to advise him. So he checked with his advisor. Who are you checking with? Who are you checking with? When the battle comes, some of us run all the way out to the front line, just crazy, running to the battle before we even have a strategy or know the strategy. So this king was wise. He was a wise king. We want to be wise kings and priests. I want to know, God, what should I do? So, and we don't want to move in the flesh, because he could have moved in the flesh and just gone crazy and started hacking people because, well, they were coming to kill him. So an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Nevertheless, that's not what he did. So it said, but he answered, you shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your board and your bow? Set food and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. How powerful is that? The Bible says that we should, that our enemies, that we should clothe them, we should feed them. And by doing so, we are heaping coals upon their head. We should treat them with kindness. Why? Because their heart could turn. Their heart could be mended and healed by that act of kindness, or they'd be put to shame because of how they sought to kill us when we had no ill intention against them. God is so strategic, so he uses kindness as a strategy. He says, with loving kindness, I have drawn thee. So God is a strategic God. Now, he wasn't doing this point for the point of salvation. It was to prove a point, though, and it worked for that set time, that season. So then he prepared a great feast for them. So now these people have come to kill you, but you in turn feed them. And after they ate and drank, he sent them, he being the king of Israel, sent them away, and they went to their master, back to the king of Syria. So the bands of the Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. I love that. The Bible says in Proverbs that a harsh word provokes anger, but a kind word turneth away wrath. So we have to begin to think about that. How are we using our words? How are we approaching these situations when the battle comes to us, when the battle is arrayed against us? How will we respond? And then when our enemy is standing there in front of us in a weakened, blinded state, confused, and we have the opportunity to retaliate, how should we? Think about that. So I'm just going to share some of the notes from the commentary, and then we're going to wrap up. But I just want to thank you guys for listening to the Breakpoint podcast. I would love to do consistent podcasts, and I say that, I preface that, because as God leads, I will speak. And if he's not speaking, I will not speak. So today he led me to come and share this podcast with you when the battle is arrayed against you. I hope that it has been powerful. I hope it has been empowering and impactful. I hope that it has sharpened your iron, that you are encouraged to pick up your iron, pick up your axe, go to work, build, chop down those things that you need to chop down, and get positioned and determine the strategy, the battle strategy God is speaking to you. As the battle is arrayed against you, how will you array yourself against the battle? What weapon will you pick up? How will you use your axe? How will you use your iron? Will you use it in worship? Will you use it in prayer? Will you use it by the word of God? Will you use it in silence? Would you use it in stillness? How would God have you to use it? What is the battle strategy for your iron? So in the commentary, just a few things to note. It says that Elisha, in chapter 6, verse 16, Elisha knew that God's unseen army was far more powerful than any visible army. We have to begin to get that in our spirit and know that there are more with us than there are with them. The angels of the army of the Lord encamp around about those who fear him. The eyes of the Lord go to and from the earth. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. He is always on point. He's always on guard. He's always on watch. He's always listening. He's always moving. He's always hearing. Isaiah 65 and 24 says, even while we are, before we are speaking, he is answering while we are yet speaking. Even before we're speaking, he's already heard. Even while we are yet speaking, he has already answered. So he listens. He listens. It says, goes on to share that in chapter 6, verse 17, in answer to his prayer, Elisha's reassuring words to his servant were validated by letting him see the spiritual realities that lay beyond normal human sight. We have to begin to ask God, open my spiritual eyes. I'm not talking about a third eye. I'm not talking about a sixth sense. I'm talking about spiritual eyes and eyesight and spiritual insight, because we have the Holy Spirit of God abiding in us. And because we have the Spirit of God dwelling in us, he will help us to begin to see as he sees. Read Matthew 6 and 6. Blessed are your eyes, for they see. God, how do you see this situation? God, how should I respond? God, what do you see? And you look at Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11, where he commissioned his servant. He says, what do you see? And the servant says, I see an almond branch. He said, you see well. He said, what do you see? He said, I see a boiling pot turning from the north. And he went on to give all the things, God, the descriptions that he saw. God said, you see well. I'm able to perform my work. So we have the ability to see within the spirit and see in advance. Just like Elisha saw in advance what the king of Syria was planning, we have that same ability. The Bible says greater works will we do. So what are you doing? What are we doing? And my husband and I talked about that. I'm going to start saying, God, I will do greater works than you, Jesus. And not in a sense of haughtiness, but because it's your desire, it's your will. Help me to do it, Lord. I want to, but I have to be able to see first, not with human intellect. But the Bible says that the things of the spirit are spiritually discerned. The carnal mind cannot sift the things of the spirit. So we have to think and operate from a spiritual perspective, and it's a spiritual law. So moving on, it says that such a fiery scene had accompanied Elijah's translation into heaven. So that's in Kings, 2 Kings 2:11. So I'll let you read that. And if you go on to the commentary, chapter 6, verses 19 and 20, it says, I will bring you. And here, that's saying where Elisha is saying to the Syrian army, I will bring you. And the commentary goes on to say that Elisha's words are technically true, although he employed tactics common in times of war to lead the Arameans to Samaria rather than Dothan. Such wartime measures are noted elsewhere in the scripture. You got to know the weapons of your warfare. The Bible says they're not carnal, but they're mighty in God to the pulling down of strongholds. And goes, you know, dot, dot, dot. So you read that. But the point I'm trying to make is there's a natural book that's written called The Art of War by Sun Tzu. Not suggesting that you go read that, but the point I'm trying to make is in that little book, it tells you how to defeat your enemy. You got to know how to defeat your enemy. So he wasn't lying. He was using a battle tactic and a strategy to rout them by taking them in the opposite direction. So what is the strategy, again, God is giving you when the battle is arrayed against you? Jesus, what is my battle strategy? Holy Spirit, what is the battle strategy? What would you have me to do? And then you do what is revealed. So it goes on to share again that the end of this story is even more amazing than the beginning, because the blind soldiers were brought within the capital city of Israel where they might easily have been slaughtered, because they had come with the intent to kill the king of Israel. They could have been slaughtered, and the natural should have been slaughtered, but instead they were given a banquet and were sent back to Ben-Hadad unharmed, Ben-Hadad being the king of Syria. And then lastly, it said the terms of deference, my father. So when the king of Israel referred to Elisha, my father, it's a sign of deference. And it says for it to be used here by King Jehoram for Elijah is a clear indication that Jehoram knew that he was not in charge. He knew that he was not in charge. He's the king, but God positioned him as king. Elisha is the prophet, but God positioned him as a prophet. So when he's talking to the prophet, he's really speaking to God, because a prophet is there positioned as an oracle of God. So I hope you guys get that in the spirit too. Like when we're talking to each other, and we're talking to the men and women of God, you're speaking to God, because Jesus rent the veil. So we have access. We have access directly to him. We can get the message from God, but God has also positioned messengers. So look around your life. Who has God position to help you get your axe out of the water, to help you win your battle, to help you rout your enemies? How are you arraying yourself for the battle, and the battle that has against the battle that has arrayed itself against you? So when the battle is arrayed against you, I hope that you will think back on these things that God has revealed through 2 Kings chapter 6, and know that it is well, man of God, it is well, woman of God, it is well, servant of the Most High God, it shall be well, hallelujah, that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, in Jesus' name. Mighty are the works of our hands, O God. Our soul does know it well, Lord God, and we surrender our ways to you, Lord God, and ask that you would, God, we submit ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you, which is our reasonable service. And God, we prophesy according to Romans 12, 1 and 2. God, we prophesy this, Lord, over our own life, that we will be no longer conformed to this world, but we will be transformed by the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of you, O God, in Jesus' name, so that we can battle accordingly and be arrayed and battle accordingly as the battle arrays against us. Father, we thank you for being Jehovah Rapha, our healer, Jehovah Jireh, our provider, Jehovah Nisi, our protector, Jehovah Sikkenu, the banner over us, which is love, Jehovah Shalom, our peace, Jehovah El Rohi, God who sees us, and Emmanuel, God with us. God, we praise you, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. I pray that this word has been impactful for you. I pray that it has blessed you. God, we honor you. I pray that it will prepare you for your battle array. Be arrayed for battle. Hallelujah. Be made whole. Be thou made whole, man and woman of God, by the word of God, by the will of God. Be it for you to be made whole and to fight and to stand and to be still as he directs. So God, we love you. We praise you. We thank you, my brother, my sister. I love you. I honor you with the love of Christ. God bless you. I would love to hear from you. Reach out to me again. I am on Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Instagram under Dr. Patrice Carter. Mine and my husband's ministry, his name is Dalton Carter. Our ministry is Speak to the World Ministries. We are a prophetic evangelistic outreach ministry that we're called to the nations, and we have multiple conferences coming up, and we just would love to see you in those, our workshop trainings. If you want to know more about me, you can go to my website, www.drpatricecarter.com. That is P-A-T-R-I-C-E-C-A-R-T-E-R, drpatricecarter.com. That's D-R, doctor. And I would love to connect with you. I am a Christian life coach, trainer, and also a coach. I do private coaching for executives, for coaches, other coaches, and for also celebrities and high profile individuals. And I coach them with the love of God to the place that God has called them to. And I would love to walk with you. God bless you. Also, check out my book, Superb Woman from Bad Girl to God's Girl. It's on my website. It's $18.99 and it's powerful. I love you and I look forward to meeting you. God bless you.